Hey, hey, my magical friends. Welcome to another Witchful Ways podcast episode. I am Annika, offering you insight, guidance, tools to live a magical life every single day. Okay, so today we're going to discuss EMF readers. And the reasoning is because, as with many of these, I was having a discussion with somebody and I realized that there are some misconceptions about EMF readers and what they can pick up. So first off, let me say that the conversation started with this person because they had purchased something from somebody other than myself and came and asked me, why is it that my EMF reader isn't showing any activity whatsoever? Can you explain why that might happen? Which I was very humbled that this person thought to come and ask me something like that. So it makes me feel great that you people come to me or that people come to me to get information unbiased, right? Like, I don't care if you got something from me, from somebody else. If you have a question about anything whatsoever that comes to paranormal aspects, that or psychic abilities, intuitive, right? Manifesting, anything that I can help people with, that's what I'm here for. So I love that people are starting to do that. So first off, let me say that let's go over what an EMF reader is, right? An electromagnetic field meter, which is an EMF meter, is one of probably the most popular pieces of ghost hunting kits, right? Or tools. They're simple to use. A lot of times they just consist of nothing more than an on-off switch, right? And they alert you when they detect an electromagnetic field from 0 to 20,000 hertz. This means that it picks up part of the electromagnetic spectrum with a wavelength ranging from about 14 to 6,000 km, right? So the device gives instant feedback via that digital display or your LED indicators, usually 5 of them, right? Okay. I think we're all pretty familiar with it. An EMF meter can be used to communicate oftentimes with spirits during seances and haunting investigations and things like that, right? When an EMF meter, when you're using one, you tend to call out to the spirit that might be present and you encourage them to come forward and try and trigger the lights on the meter in order to show that they're present with you or in the space or to indicate an answer to a question, right? Again, I think we're pretty familiar with that concept. However, there is no exact scientific understanding of how spirits can communicate using an EMF reader, but there are two different schools of thought within those that use EMF readers or within the paranormal community. So let's discuss those. The first of them is that the ghost can disrupt the ambient electromagnetic field. For the EMF reader to trigger, a spirit would need to cause a spike or a fluctuation in this ambient field in order to bring it up to a level that the device can detect, right? So quite how a spirit has the ability to manipulate that electromagnetic field is unknown. The ambient electromagnetic field is, it, for those of you who are like, okay, what's an ambient electromagnetic field? The ambient electromagnetic field is created by the wiring and the electrical devices nearby. For that reason, an ambient field would only exist in a home or a building or near power lines or broadcast equipment or something that's going to be transmitting electromagnetic energy, right? If spirits rely on that ambient field to manipulate, then the EMF reader would be ineffective in remote, like outdoor locations, in the middle of the woods, in isolated locations, or in underground locations, right? Because you're not going to have that ambient field because your EMF reader is based on that ambient field and then it detects any fluctuations from within that. If there is no ambient field, it has nothing to determine a fluctuation within and therefore becomes ineffective. It won't work, right? So for most homes, for instance, the average ambient field that's there is 0.1 mg or milligauss, which would be too weak to trigger an EMF meter, right? Because as we said earlier, 50 is the minimum that it goes by. So the first green light on the EMF meter is, or I think it's 20 actually, the first green light on the EMF reader lights up at around 1.5 and a field of 20 or more than 20 would light up all five of the LEDs, right? So 1.5 give you the first light, 20 give you all five lights going on. But again, this is detecting it from an ambient, okay? So it's mistakenly claimed that ambient field, the ambient electromagnetic field, is generated by the Earth's magnetic field. That's not the case, as EMF meters detect electric and magnetic fields, which oscillate at a frequency of at least 50 hertz. So the magnetic field of the Earth does not oscillate in any regular pattern, so it can't be detected by the EMF reader. So that's why there is no ambient in that isolated in the middle of the forest for an EMF reader to actually work within. Okay, that's the first school of thought, as confusing as that was, right? The second school of thought is that the ghosts themselves create or emit their own electromagnetic field. So instead of the EMF reader detecting a fluctuation that the ghost or being would show that it would be able to detect, the second school of thought is that the ghost creates or emits their own electromagnetic field. And that is based on the fact that the human brain uses tiny electronic impulses to think and control our bodies, right? We all know we have that electricity running through our bodies. And it's believed that the synaptic energy can live on as a disembodied consciousness after death. And that is the EMF. That's what the EMF meters can detect. That's the second school of thought, right? Our consciousness, our being, our soul, our whatever you want to call it, is an energy, energy being electronic impulses, and it can live outside of us, right? And that's what the EMF detector is reading or detecting, is that amount. The explanation makes more sense, right? As it means that the EMF meters would work in locations where there's no ambient electromagnetic fields. And if electromagnetic radiation is something that naturally lives outside of the body, then it avoids the issue of how the ghost has to manipulate the electromagnetic field. I hope this is making sense. So it seems to make, that part seems to make sense if you followed it along, right? However, there's a little bit of a flaw in that belief too, and it's one that you can test really easily for yourself. If you have an EMF reader and you place it near your own or anyone else's head, there's no change to the electromagnetic field strength. And that's because the EMF readers, again, can't detect brain waves. They, in fact, even if our own brains did kick out a strong enough current, it still wouldn't be detected by an EMF because the EMF meters aren't designed to detect it. Brainwaves cycle at 12.5 to 13 hertz below that minimum 50 hertz threshold that an EMF reader detects, right? That first light is the minimum threshold. So if both of those two beliefs are flawed, then why are EMF readers so widely used in ghost hunts? Why do a lot of people say, you know, I've got this in my toolkit? Why do a lot of people say, here, I can prove that this doll is haunted with this EMF reader, right? Well, the original reason, when we look back and research it, the original reason for taking an electromagnetic detecting device along on a paranormal investigation has been lost throughout time. So let's discover what that is again. EMF meters were originally used to try to rule out the possibility of artificial electromagnetic fields that could actually be causing people to experience certain haunting phenomena. And that's because strong electromagnetic fields can induce really strange experiences in people who are exposed to them. when the field strength, the electromagnetic field strength, is really high, or it's really fluctuating up and down, back and forth aggressively, it can affect the temporal lobes of the brain. So symptoms can range, that effects that happen might range from seeing light anomalies, feeling a perception of a presence in the room, or a sensation of being touched. The effect can be replicated, however, in a lab when you put the person's head in between poles of alternating current magnets in a darkened room. As that field strength is increased, the person will begin to see a faint glow and strange lights. So the odd sensory abnormalities, or anomalies, could be mistaken for ghostly going on, right? Or spirits that are appearing. Excuse my dog in the background. So again, EMF readers were originally used to rule out the possibility that the artificial electromagnetic fields were actually causing people to experience these things. So they weren't brought to detect ghosts themselves. They were brought to rule out the mundane reasons why people may be hearing or seeing or sensing these things. So there's a Canadian neuroscientist that has been recreating that phenomenon that I just talked about in his laboratory for years, Michael Persinger. So check it out. He uses a specifically designed helmet that uses that weak pulse magnetic field to induce those feelings that I was talking about in those people in his study and in volunteers. So according to his findings, someone exposed to those kind of fields for just 15 minutes can start to feel like there's an invisible presence in the room. So that, when you think about it, could explain some of the reportings of hauntings and locations where there's an erratic or a strong electromagnetic field, which is why investigators began using EMF meters to ensure that there are no constant or erratic fields in or around the property in order to validate the haunting. If you would find that the place that you were in, the location, has a high electromagnetic field, or it fluctuates or changes very, very distinctly in strength, then you would have to keep in mind that the people in that building or in that place might be susceptible to those fluctuations and changes, and you should use other methods than the human senses to validate the claim. For example, you might want to discredit the light anomalies that people are seeing with the naked eye and instead rely on evidence that you may use to capture with a camera or something like that, which wouldn't be affected by the low-level electromagnetic fields. So I know that was a whole lot, but I feel like understanding and knowledge is key in all of these things. There are things that are not explainable, right? There are things that people will see and hear, and that you can communicate with your spirit team and guides and wandering spirits and cross loved ones and angels and everything else. And you can absolutely have interaction with them. But that is through your own intuition and building your own intuition and your own connection and your own universal language and communication ways, right? And understanding that, as compared to relying on outside sources and tools. And I talked about this maybe last week or the week before, and tools are wonderful to be able to get you on the right path. But to be able to have to rely on them can actually be more of a crutch than it is something in your arsenal, if you will. So when you are using your EMF reader on the newly haunted doll, for instance, that you may have brought in, or a spellcaster enchanted item that you may be receiving, understand that that EMF reader may not detect anything because it doesn't have an ambient base field to go off of, right? The item itself is not producing or producing any type of fluctuation in that ambient field, which is what it's designed to detect, and or the energy that it is giving off, if you will, for lack of better terms, giving off or creating on its own, or that is supposedly housed in it, is not at that 50 hertz minimum threshold. That doesn't mean that it isn't chocked full of energies. It may be above or below what's detectable. And there's so many other variations to it. So when you receive something that is new, it again, I implore you, I invite you to make sure that you connect with it in your own way. You can go to witchfulways.com and there is under the More tab, there's a way to welcome new spirit companions and magical items into so that you actually connect with the energy yourself. Your intuition is what it's all about. That's why I'm all about, like, my jam, right, is intuition, divination, and manifestation, because they all work together. But the first basis of everything is intuition. You have to be able to learn to connect with the way that you connect and receive energies around you, and then begin to believe in that intuition so that you don't have to rely on the outside tools. Okay, that's my spiel for this week. And with that, thank you for joining me again for another podcast episode. Be sure that you head over to witchfulways.com so that you can check out that free resources page and get your hands on all the witchy goodness that's over there. Lots of guides and mini courses that are available to you free. And you can also check out all the other witchy offerings I have going on. Have a wonderfully magical rest of your day. Until next time.